Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 12. And we got to, want to make sure I get you out of here on time today. And as the Lord leads us, we have been all of this month. It's been this theme. Our theme this year is ready, and be ready for the return of the Lord. Ready to, with hearts of love, to reach people far and near. And that was all the month of February. And that was local home missions, witnessing to your neighbors and family, and then sharing in the gospel around the world. And all this month, we've been emphasizing worship. And I've read again this week that passage in John that I kind of started with, where the Lord is talking with the woman at the well. And she said that you say in Jerusalem, or your fathers say in Jerusalem, and our fathers say here in this mountain in Samaria. And Jesus said, I'll tell you the truth, that it, and they cometh and now is, that they, the true worshiper, will worship him in spirit and in truth. And so worship. And then the thing that really stuck in my heart and mind as I went through that was this. He said, and the true worshiper will worship him in spirit and truth. And the Father seeketh such to worship him. He's looking for worshipers. And thank God, I believe some of you've worshiped this week. And I emphasize worshiping not just in the building, but being a worshiper, not something you go to or something that you do, but you are a worshiper. And so I've gone back through and I've been praying, and I wanted to deal with the kind of motives for worship. And I thought, I'll find a bunch of those. And when I narrowed it all down, it all comes back to just a few things that ought to motivate us to worship Him. And it is a not only an act of obedience, but we understand that worship is not just a rigid obedience to a command, but it is a response of a redeemed heart to a loving Savior. And so that's what worship is. It's born in your heart. It's not an obligation. It is a wonderful blessing. And it is an outflow of what God's done in your heart. And so the Lord led me back to Isaiah chapter 12. I may have made reference to this passage through the month, but I want to share this with you this morning, once again to emphasize, as I preach to you on this thought, why do we worship? Why do we worship? In Isaiah chapter 12, in verse 1, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, will say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall I draw water out of the wells of salvation. And then that day you shall say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. This passage of Scripture, of course, is a prophetic passage referring to Israel, who has now returned to the land. Some of you have been living since that happened. How many of you were born by or before 1948? Would you raise your hand? Well, you're living in a generation that since 70 AD has not been known. Israel is in their land as a nation, and God has allowed you to see that. Now, he said, not only in the last days will the fig tree begin to bud, that's the nation of Israel, but he also said that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. And man, listen, we're living, we're not talking about Bible prophecy, we're living Bible prophecy today, right now. But this passage of Scripture talks about redeemed Israel. It says in the book of Zechariah, there's coming a day that they'll look on him whom they've pierced, and they'll mourn for him as a woman mourns for her child. And the nation will be born or birthed in a day. There's coming a day when Israel will look on him whom they pierced, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they'll recognize him as Messiah. I've been studying a little bit about the Passover. I thought I might do that this morning, but just so much I wanted to, felt like the Lord wanted me to share. Knew I couldn't do it right now this morning. But in the modern day setting of a Jewish family's observance of Passover, there are several elements in that. I made mention to last week. Originally, they were just three elements. There was unleavened bread, and there was bitter herbs, and there was the Passover lamb. And they offered the blood sacrifice, and then they ate the flesh of that lamb. And then what was left, they burned, consumed it. But now there are several other elements been added in Jewish tradition. Now, I'm not endorsing all of that. You and I, the Lord Jesus Christ is our Passover. I don't want to preach too much about that because that's what I'm going to preach on later. But He is our Passover. But one of the things about it, they have a place setting there for Elijah because they said that Elijah would come before Messiah and would announce His arrival. Well, that place has been set now for the Jewish people for a long, long time. But Jesus has already said, Elijah's already come if you will receive Him. It was John the Baptist. And he came and his job was to prepare the way for the Son of God. And while they're waiting for Messiah to come, I'm rejoicing that Jesus has already come. But this passage of Scripture is when they recognize Him and they rejoice in that fact. Now, I want you to bow with me for prayer. I'm going to share some things with you, and I pray God the Holy Ghost will tune our hearts to sing His grace this morning. Lord, thank You for the wonderful singing of the choir and the congregation this morning. Thank You, our Father, for touching Brother Brian. Lord, what an awesome song as he's magnified our Lord this morning. And God, I pray, God, that You would, Lord, move on our hearts. Lord, I pray there'd be spontaneous worship and magnification of our Lord. Our Father, thank You for this time we assemble together. And Lord, I thank You for the ministry of deacons. Thank You for, Lord, in these 22 years, I've had the privilege to serve with some of the greatest Christian men I've ever known in all my life. And the three that were here this morning, and Calvin Ramsey, our Father, who's been nominated. All of these are Your dear servants. They love You. They love this church. And they're willing to do whatever You want them to do. And God, I want to thank You for blessing me, Father, over these years to serve with so many wonderful men of God. And I pray now the Holy Ghost, our Father, will speak to my heart once again. Our Father, of all the hustle and bustle of the week, all the heartache and sadness that's gone on, many are here today. And our Father, they've gotten news this week they didn't expect to get. They've had experiences they didn't want to have. They've gone through heartache that they never want to go through again. But God, You're a God of grace. And our Father, in all that we do, in all that we are, our Father, in all that we go through, God, I'm glad that You never, ever leave us or forsake us. And our Father, I know You want us to worship You. And our Father, sometime in dark days, it's hard to worship. But Lord, I'm reminded in the day that Job heard the death of all of his children, in the day that he heard of all the loss of his livelihood, the Bible said he rent his garments and fell on his face and he worshiped You. And God, I want to thank You that God, even in the darkest days of our life, that You are still God. You are still God. And God, You are still worthy of our worship. And God, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God to move on me. God, touch me, fill me with the Holy Ghost. God, please take over. God, You called me to preach. You appointed this time. Our Father, I don't know how many more times I can preach. I don't know how many times this group will be gathered just like it is here this morning. But God, I know right now, our Father, these next few moments are tremendously important. So God, help me. God, use me, fill me, speak through me, and God, speak to Your people. And God, I'll thank You and give You all the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All this month we've been talking about worship. So I had thought, and as I've been looking at it for some time, that I'd go through the Bible and I could find a bunch of things that we ought to praise Him for. And there's no end to what we could praise Him for. But when it's all said and done, it all boils down to some simple things. You and I ought to worship Him. I mentioned to you a verse the other day. It said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I was looking at all those Psalms near the end of the book of Psalms, the last five of them. Five's a number of grace. But the last five Psalms in the book of Psalms all start like this. praise ye the Lord. And it ends up with praise ye the Lord. All five of them, five's a number of grace. My dear friend, if you've ever experienced grace, you start off praising the Lord and you ought to end up praising the Lord. I mean, the day you got saved, you ought to praise Him. And when you die, you ought to still be praising with upon your lips. I went by and saw Miss Marie last night. I was blessed that she woke up when I spoke to her. I intended just to go in and speak her name, and if she didn't respond, I was just going to have a prayer with her. But she woke up, and we talked for a few moments, and I know she's going through some tough time. But I told Regina, I said, and as we got down to the end, I started quoting the 23rd Psalm, or at least I started right where it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil." And as soon as I said, "Yea, though I walk," she picked up and she quoted the rest of the psalm all the way through. And when she got down to that last little phrase where it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, I will dwell in the house of the Lord," I tell you, it blessed me. And as we finished that psalm together, I said, "I want us to pray." And I took her hand and I held her with both my hands and I prayed. And I said, "Lord, thank you for your dear servant. Thank you for how she's loved you, how you've been with her all these days, how you're with her now. And God, we don't know your plan for my life or her life or when we get to go to heaven. But God, I know that you'll be with her regardless of whatever." We start off praising Him when we get saved, and we end up praising Him when we get to go to heaven, and then we don't ever quit. We'll praise Him for all eternity. And you know what she said? She said, "I know that I'm in His hand, and I know I'm going to get to go to heaven. But," she said, I would love to stay with my family." Aren't you like that? Paul was like that. Paul said, "I have a desire to depart and be with the Lord, which is far better, but to remain is more needful." I don't know how long any of us will live, but I do know this, that since we've been saved, we've got something to praise Him for. We'll shout about it. "Everything that hath breath is to praise the Lord. All of creation," there's another passage of Scripture I thought about preaching from this morning. It talks about the hills clapping their hands and the rain and the trees and everything praising Him and glorifying Him. All of His creation glorifying Him. And that's right, that everything that hath breath ought to praise Him. But if there's anybody in the world that ought to praise Him, it's us. Why do we praise the Lord? Why do we praise the Lord? Here, I this is the truth that's come across my heart once again. He's always going to be God. He's always powerful. He's always omniscient. And everybody who's lived, you know what the Bible says? It said that He makes it rain on the just and the unjust. That is the saved and the unsaved. And everybody, every mouthful of food you've ever had, every breath you've ever breathed, every drop of rain that's ever fallen, God gave that to you if you're saved or not saved. And so therefore you ought to honor God. He is God. You may not know Him, but you honor Him. But there is a group of people that do know Him. And I want to share that with you just real briefly this morning on why we worship Him. Not why we ought to worship Him, but why we do worship Him. I am convinced that in every believer in here this morning, there's a spirit of worship. There's different ways of expression, different ways of magnifying Him, but it's true of every believer. And it's so simple. Look at it right here in this passage of Scripture. And if you mark your Bible, just mark this for me, if you will. And he starts off this psalm in Psalms number 12, and he talks about, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. I want to remind you that the Bible said He's angry with the wicked every day. And while it is true that He loves every person who's lost, He at the same time is angry with the wicked every day. You're alienated from Him. Now, how can that be? He's God. I can't explain all that to you. But He's a holy God. But He doesn't want to judge you. He has no pleasure in the death of the ungodly. He wants you saved. But there was a time when I was an enemy of God. There was a time when you were an enemy of God. He made it simple. He that's not with me is against me. And so if you were lost and you wasn't trusting Christ as your Savior, you were against Him. And you had made yourself His enemy. But my dear friend, the Bible talks about being reconciled to God. That's when you take a timepiece and you, whether it's Big Ben or whatever it is, and it's at 12 noon, then you set all your clocks at 12 noon according to that one. You reconcile everything to that. And Brother Barry was talking about the Word of God. We don't try to change the Word of God. We're not going to change the Word of God. We need to change to get right with God. When I was working in the cotton mill, there was one fellow there, and I tried to witness to him and talk to him. He said, I used to go to church. You know what? He said, I quit going because they never changed the menu. It was always the same thing. And I said, I can tell you why. I said, because truth never changes. And he's the same, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I don't believe in just ritual for that, but I'm telling you, standing on the truth, you don't want to waver from that. You need to stand with the Word of God. But now, notice this, everything ought to praise Him, but I've got a special reason. I was alienated from Him. The Bible said there was a time that I was without God and without hope in the world, but God saved me. God saved you. And notice what it says here in verse number 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. He reemphasizes that. But if you mark your Bible, will you just mark three little words in that? Verse 2, He is my salvation. And then He is my song, my strength rather, and then He's my song. He is my salvation, He is my strength, and He's my song. That's why I worship Him. He is my salvation, and He is my strength, and He is my song. Everything in this world comes to us through Him. He is the giver of everything. He's the giver of every good and perfect gift. Anything in your life that is good, that's a blessing, He gave it to you. But notice what it said here. First of all, He said, He is my salvation. Now, two things I want to emphasize about that. Notice, first of all, He is my salvation. That's a present tense word, is. I was saved many years ago as a young boy sitting on my mama's old glider. I was saved then, and I still is. That's good talk. He still is. I'm still saved. He's my Savior. He not was my Savior. He is my Savior. He is now. He is my salvation. Notice, not only is it a present tense thing, but notice this. It is also personal. He is my Savior. Can I tell you, He loved you with an everlasting love. I get letters from Mr. Trump all the time. I give him letters from his wife and from his son-in-law and for his niece and nephew, everybody. They all send me letters. They all tell me how wonderful I am, and I am. But and how much they can't get along without me and this, that, and the other. But always at the end of that thing, they've got this little thing that said, if you really love us, send us $10, $20, $25, $30, help us, you know. Always like that. I want to get one day when they just say, just cause you who you are. Can I tell you, I believe the Lord's like that. I believe we ought to just worship Him, not because of all the things He's done for us, all things He's given us, but just because He loved us and died for us. Thank God He is my salvation. It's personal to me. I hope it's personal to you. I hope you have had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted Him as your Savior and Lord. It's a present gift, but it is a personal thing to be saved. But oh, my friend, it is a permanent thing. It's forever and forever and forever. I believe that's one reason the Holy Ghost of God, He put it in here now. He said that in the beginning, He is my salvation. And in that last part of that verse, He also has become my salvation. He is my salvation. He is now, and He's always going to be. He is my Savior. I have people say, well, I got saved once. One time I was saved. No, if you ever got saved, you're still saved. It is a present thing. It's a personal thing. It is a permanent thing. Saved for all eternity. I'm glad He redeemed me. I'm glad He saved me. So many other things I'd love to say, but I want you to turn over just quick to the Psalms 40 in that regard, because I want to read this to you and listen to what David said. David said in verse number 40, chapter number 40 of Psalms, in verse number 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and He set my feet on a rock and established my going. He hath put a new song in my heart, in my mouth, even praise to our God, and many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Can I tell you that that's a picture of salvation? God picked you up out of a horrible pit. You were dead in trespass and sin. He picked you up. He set you up on a rock. He said, He set my feet on a solid rock. Jesus Christ is that rock. We're sitting on that permanent foundation of eternal life. And then not only did He do that, but He said, He put a new song in my mouth, even praise our God. That's why I told you a while ago, you know why I praise Him? Because He saved me. He put a song in my heart. There's something in me to worship Him. My dear friend, you've been saved by the grace of God. You worship Him because He saved you and you magnify Him. But notice not only in that, in Isaiah chapter 12, but He said, He is my strength. He is my strength. Once again, this is a permanent thing. He said, He is my strength. Right now, everything I've ever done, everything you've ever done, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. All of our strength comes from Him. The strength we need to live for Christ, the strength we need to continue in our daily life, the strength we need to face troubles and trials and fear and heartache and sorrow, to go through those dark days, is Him. He is our strength. Not depending on yourself, but you're depending on Him and trust in Him. He is my strength. I'm able to do all that God wants me to do. Why? Because because He strengtheneth me. He's with me and He's with you. He is my strength. He's not aiding in my strength. He is my strength. Everything I am and everything I have and all that I'm able to do, He gives me strength to do that. He is my strength. I worship Him today because He is my salvation and He is my strength. But then He says this, He is my song. And there's not one stanza of this song. There's a lot of, we had a fellow singing revival tonight, and he was a great singer on last night. Great singer. I'd never heard of him before, never known him before, but he sang great songs. But when we were talking at the end, quite a few songs that he sang that night, he wrote, and he said, I've written over 350 songs, but they're all about Jesus. Amen. He said, I've written 350 songs, but they're all about Jesus. And listen, He is my song. I don't have anything else to tell. I was pastoring down in Pensacola, Florida, and one of my deacons came to me one day and said, Brother Billy, I just kind of figured out something. I said, you did? I said, what's that? And he mentioned a fellow, some of you might know him. His name was Dr. Peter Ruckman, and he was real big on prophecy. And he said, Dr. Ruckman's thing is Bible prophecy. And then he mentioned somebody else, and he said, his thing is this, that, and the other. And all of this relates to the Lord, I know that. But he said, mention another preacher, and this is kind of his thing. And he said, but I know what your thing is. I said, what's your thing? He said, your thing is Jesus. That's one of the best compliments I ever had in my life, because Jesus is answer to every need you've got. He is my song. Oh, He is my song. Oh, Fanny Crosby had it right when she sang and all those songs she wrote about Him, about the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He's done. She wrote those songs, thousands of songs, but every one of them pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my song. I have one thing to tell you this morning. Jesus Christ can be your Savior, and He'll be your strength, whatever kind of strength you need. And He'll put something in you to worship Him. He can become your song as you sing about Him, magnify Him. I want you to worship Him. Will you bow your heads in prayer? And thank you for listening this morning. I pray for the friends in the radio audience. If they're still with us, pray God, the Holy Ghost, to speak to your heart. And if you're not saved this morning, I want you to know this, that He will save to the uttermost all that call upon Him. The Lord Jesus Christ is your salvation if you trust Jesus Christ. He is your salvation. It's not a plan, but it's a man. He is your salvation. He that hath the Son hath life. Some people in this building this morning, you may be trusting in a prayer or a plan, but I'm telling you, He that hath the Son hath life. Do you have Jesus in your heart? Hey, was there a time in your life when He came into you in the person of the Holy Spirit of God? Do you have Him? He that hath the Son hath life. And then He said, without me, you could do nothing. But with God, all things are possible. And Paul said it rightly when he said that I could do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He's able. He is my strength. You can face anything, go through anything He wants you to go through, accomplish anything He wants you to accomplish, whatever it is, because of His strength, not depending on your own, but His. And then He's my song. Because He saved me, because He's with me, and He's with me all the time, He's my constant strength, He is my song. No praise to me, no praise to anything, anybody else, but we sing about Him. We worship Him, magnify Him, glorify Him. He is our song. Can I ask you this morning, very simple, very simple. Like I said, I've tried to find many motives for singing, but I couldn't find anything any better than this, and then everything else is encompassed in this. He is my salvation. He is my strength, and He is my song. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. I worship Him. He is my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my friend, my constant companion. He's my advocate. He's my intercessor. He is my light. He is my bread. He is my life. He's my all in all. In the book of the Song of Solomon, there's a time when she seems to be separated from her beloved. And the women of Jerusalem say, "What is thy beloved more than another beloved?" Oh, she begins to describe him and list all the things. I think I've shared that with you before. But now near the end, she says this, "He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend. He is altogether lovely." Do you know Him? If you don't know Him this morning, it's a very simple thing. He made it that way because He wanted you to go to heaven with Him. He paid all of your sin debt, and He offers to you now an absolutely free gift. It's the gift of salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And right now, if you'll turn to Him in faith, turn from your sin, you can be saved. Turn to Him and acknowledge to Him that you're a sinner and receive Him as your Savior and Lord. Confess that He was buried, died, was buried, and rose again, that He's a living Savior. In that confession, you acknowledge the fact that He bore your sin, He paid your sin debt, and that He was buried, He rose again, He has been victorious over death, hell, and the grave. That means the debt's been paid. You have great confidence in Him. "I will trust in Him and not be afraid," is what David said. "I'm trusting Him for my eternal life for all eternity. There's no fear because I'm totally dependent on Him." You know how I came to Him? Way every other sinner's come to Him. "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come." Will you come to Him this morning? If you will, He'll be your salvation. He'll be your strength, and then He'll be your song from the beginning to the end and then for all eternity. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Spirit of the living God will speak to hearts now. I pray, oh God, that, Lord, that You deal with Your people. God, I pray they would respond in faith. God, for those of us who love You, and be, Lord, You've saved us. You are our strength and You're our song. I pray, God, that, Lord, these few messages and these few thoughts this month, God, help me to worship You every day. Help me to magnify You every day. And Lord, every morning, during the day and every evening, to worship You in spirit and in truth. God, I pray You do the same thing for my brothers and sisters, the Lord. But Lord, if there's a man or woman, boy or girl in the media audience or in this building that's not saved, Lord, I pray You'd save them. They'd come trust You this morning. God, I'll thank You and praise You. While we have our heads bowed and eyes closed, would you please stand? We'll not keep you long this morning. And Brother Ricky's going to sing. Brother Ricky's going to sing a verse of a song here for us. As he sings, let me do this for you and ask you to do this. If you're here and you're saved this morning, either right where you are, will you just worship Him? You may feel led to raise your hand, to wave your hand. You may feel led to come and bow before this old cross. Bow here at the altar this morning and worship Him and worship Him. Would you do that? Then if you're not saved today, I want to tell you He'll save you. If you'll come right now, He'll save you, give you everlasting life. And if I can help you, I'll be right here at the front. You come on right now. As God speaks, Brother Rick is going to sing, "You Come, God's People." I encourage you to come worship. Worship Him where you are. You come get bow around this old-fashioned altar. Just obey Him this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.